Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Rant and Bant of the restaurant business with Yeti's Kitchen. I'm your host, as usual, Yeti. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that has always been on my mind, and I think I'm so done with it because it's almost like technology gives us the tools to apparently bring us closer, and people still maintain the same energy that they have in reality. They maintain that same energy with technology and think nobody notices, or they think everyone is fooled. And that topic today is that of WhatsApp statuses. WhatsApp, everything WhatsApp. So this WhatsApp thing is like obviously major for some people, because I don't understand how you could go about living your life and you don't want people to know you're online. I know I'm going to be shaking quite a few tables talking about this, but come on people. Do you actually realize that if you don't want anybody knowing you're online, or that person you're trying to make sure doesn't know you're online actually knows you're online? Because typically, if you have a narcissistic person on your contact list who you're apparently hiding your online activity from, do you realize that that person actually sits there and watches 24/7 to see when you come online? So you can't come on here thinking because you switched off your last scene, then suddenly they would not be offended, or they will be less offended. My sister, my brother, they will be offended whether you like it or not. So switch on your WhatsApp last scene. People do not care enough, or would I say you should not care enough about who sees your last scene, or the fact that they saw that you were last seen 5 minutes ago and you've ignored their message from 3 days ago. Bruh, like, we should keep that energy in 2019. We're in 2020 now. Ignore people with your chest. Say after me, in 2020, I would ignore people with my chest. And if you're ignoring people, do it with pride. Do it deliberately. Do it because there's a reason. I'm not saying go about being horrible and not responding to people, but there must be a reason why you're ignoring that person. There must be a reason why you don't want them to know when last you were online. So, and as I'm saying, for me, it defeats the purpose, because there's so many people that have hidden their statuses that, okay, I don't know when last they were seen. But if you actually ask the person they're hiding their status from, their last seen from, the person actually sees them online all the time because the person is a stalker. So whatever you're trying to avoid by not showing your last seen, you've actually made it happen already. So in 2020, own your WhatsApp. It's your phone. It's your WhatsApp. You could do whatever the hell you want to do with it. Yes, this has nothing to do with the restaurant business, and it kind of does because we're on WhatsApp as well. So I might as well just slide it in. Yeti's Kitchen is on WhatsApp. So you can always message us if you have a catering job, if you have a wedding, if you have an event and you need somebody to give you some good food. Definitely holler at us. Our number on WhatsApp is 074-603-53448. You can WhatsApp us. We're in the UK, so that's +44 74 603 53448. So back to the story. So yeah, you switch off your WhatsApp last scene, and then the one that makes me laugh the most is the read receipts. Yeah, you don't want anyone to know, or you don't want a certain person to know that you've read their messages. Come on, really, why don't you just block the person? Come into 2020 and you're still hiding what you have read, what you have not read. You know what? I think I'm beginning to suspect you too. Forget the people who are stalking you, who want to know when you're online, who want to know when you've read a message. You too, you're a suspect. Because if you are in a place where you're hiding when you were last available on WhatsApp, you're hiding when you read a message, you're hiding this and that. Bruh, you too. You have a lot to play in the fact that people are stalking you, because you're probably giving them the environment. Like they say, bacteria. Bacteria loves to grow in an environment that's very good for it to grow. Come on now. So you can't blame the person stalking you. You your own self, you must be playing a part in it. Because for the life of me, I can't imagine my phone. I pay the bills. I pay the data for it. I downloaded WhatsApp. And I refuse to block you. I refuse to relax and just let the features of WhatsApp exist. I'm going to go through the trouble of removing the last seen. I'm going to go through the trouble of removing read receipts just because I don't want some people thinking I'm not responding to their messages. Bruh, you're going to offend people in life. That's just life. So if you're going to offend people with your chest. If you're going to not be available to some certain people, but you make yourself available to people that value your time, do it with your chest. It's 2020. Enough. The people you're even trying to avoid offending, you've offended them before you've even tried to switch off your WhatsApp read receipt. The people you're trying to avoid offending, you've offended them before you've even decided to switch off your last seen. So you've already offended them. There are some people that decide to wake up every morning and just say, you know what, this person has offended me. So you do not have anything to contribute to what they want to have as an offense list. So don't bother. Don't bother. So the one that makes me laugh is a read receipt. You switch that off as well, thinking they can't see when you've read the messages, or oh, it's not showing that they read the message. What does it matter? Block the person so the person can't send you messages. Commit the offense and let the person know that, you know what, I pushed my boundaries. This person has blocked me. And then last but not the least is WhatsApp statuses. But I don't really think I'm really fussed about that one. But where you post certain things and then you get added to broadcast lists, or people just add you to a WhatsApp group. I can't wait for WhatsApp to get to a point where you need to ask for permission to be able to add me to a WhatsApp group, because that I think is a proper invasion of privacy. And then the final one is deleting. Delete for everyone or delete for me. The number of times I've seen people use this feature, and it just makes me laugh, because I think they either think in the back of their minds that when they delete for everyone, the person on the other side doesn't actually see the message. It's either WhatsApp did not send a memo, but I'm sorry to break it to you, but when you're deleting for everyone, the person could have read the message already, even though it doesn't show a read receipt, and they've read the message already, and could I say the damage is done. So when you send a message and then you unsend a message, it's like when you send an email and then you unsend an email, you never know if the damage is done, and you forever wonder if, oh, did they see it? Are they just ignoring me? Are they just ignoring or acting like they never saw the message? Like, save that energy for 2019, man. 2020 new year. Send a message. If it's wrong or it was sent wrong, write a next message to say, oh, ignore message above. Just straight up be normal. Stop all this delete for everyone. Somebody's ready. They've read it already. Do not put yourself through the whole paranoia of, oh, did they read it? Did they not read it? And then you delete for everyone. And then you send another message to cover it up. Like, send a message with your chest. Stop hiding. If you send a message to your ex because you were drunk, send it with your chest. It shows you have issues for you to be sending messages to your ex when you're drunk. Deal with the issues and solve the problem first before you start thinking delete for everyone will solve the problem. If you ended up sending nudes to the wrong person, leave the nudes there. Yes, he said so. Leave the nudes there and just write a message to say, you know what, apologies, I didn't plan to. It was you're not the right recipient. Just say it. Say it with your chest. Own it. Yeah? Before you send a message next time, you look at the recipient first. Kind of like I was reading somewhere online on Twitter that there's a company. Yeah, I think it's in the banking industry. That before you send an email, put an attachment first. Before you send an email, write your recipients in your who you're sending the messages to first. After doing that, put your attachments, then click send, rather than, well, actually I think it's your enemy, whatever way around, it's attachments first, recipients next, and then click send. And that's how they've trained the members of staff, and that avoids you sending an email that doesn't have an attachment, even though you said please find attached and then there's nothing attached. Makes you look stupid. It avoids you sending an attachment to somebody and saying, oh, sorry, you're not the right person. So before you click send, there's like a three-step process, and I think that should apply to life. Do not delete for everyone. Do not get comfortable with this delete for everyone, because WhatsApp has provided this feature. Suddenly you think the person on the other end has not read it. One, because there's no read receipt, the person hasn't clicked on the message, you think they didn't see it. Half the time I see messages on my WhatsApp that I've physically not clicked on, but it's popped up on my phone. I read it, like legitimately read it, but I've not physically gone into the chat window, so it's not going to show a blue tick, and you'd never know I've read it. And then when I go into the message, you've deleted it. I just laugh, because I'm like, it just says a lot about your personality. So for me personally, let's stop this. Let's start 2020 being intentional about the messages we're sending, and life will go a lot better. Thank me later. I'm your girl Yeti, and let's just own your personality with your chest this new year. Do take care, and God bless.
Hey, it's your girl Yeti of Yeti's Kitchen. How are we all doing in this quarantine period, quarantino? I don't know what you guys want to call it, but self-isolation. How are we all doing? This is burning in my heart, and if you hear noise in the background, it's because I'm actually not prepared for this podcast, but I just thought, you know what, I might as well just record it, even though it's not professional, and it might not sound the best, but hey, here goes. Today we're going to be talking about the topic of reviews. And if I had a pound for every bad review, or would I say good review? Let me say, if I had a pound for every bad review, or if bad reviews were the essence for which your business can be successful or can be a failure, I think many businesses would be out of pocket right now. My question is, I'm sorry, I would have to draw the race card in this podcast today, but my question is, why are black people so eager to leave a bad review, and whenever it's a good thing they have to say they struggle to actually leave a review? And I'm sorry, I've been doing Yeti's Kitchen at Manchester for about a year and a half now, so I'm not just talking about Yeti's Kitchen. Before we came to Manchester, it was called Come Chop With Me. So I've had this same business, this same food business for a while now, from Milton Keynes, moved to Northampton, and then from Northampton at Manchester. So I'm not just talking about a year's worth of stats, I'm talking about just generally. If you look at African businesses, the reviews that your people normally have, I'm sorry to say 50% of them are bad reviews. Does that mean African businesses are bad, or does it mean we as a race have a problem with saying something good and leaving a good review? I'll tell you what I mean. I found that in general, when a black person orders your food and it's good, they don't know where the review button is. That's a fact. But when a black person orders your food and the food's bad, oh my Lord, they know where the review button is. And it's getting ridiculous now, because it's happened so many times. It's almost predictive. It's happened so many times now that I am in a place where I expect nothing of my black customers, in terms of if they actually think it's good, I don't expect them to leave a review. That's how bad it is. But I know that if somebody who's white or of a different race who's not black, if they order and they like it, I can almost bet 50-60% that they would leave a review. And if they don't like it, 50% of them would just call you and say, oh my God, I just ordered a curry goat, and that curry goat was really not nice, and blah, blah, blah. And they might ask them. So 50% of them will ask for a refund. The other 50% would call you directly and tell you off. And the other 50% are the ones that would actually go look for the review button and leave you a bad review, or they'll probably just send you an email. And I'm not saying this off the top of my head. I've had people who didn't like the food and sent me an email, a long email, to say I'm really appalled at the food and blah blah blah. And I appreciated that, because it was a one-on-one review, and they said, I really didn't want to make this public, but I just thought I'll let you know one-on-one. I appreciate it. But I've never had a black person email me one-on-one or call us one-on-one to say, oh, I didn't like the food, I just thought I'd tell you personally, as a sister to sister, as a black person to a black person, I really didn't like the food, you should do something about it, or maybe you should add less salt, add less pepper. No, they would go online and make sure they shame your business. But literally, I've had one white person who's emailed it privately to me and said he's not going to put it on TripAdvisor, but you know what, he just thought you'll let me know. I've had somebody else who said, you know what, yeah, I didn't like this, straight up in front of me in the restaurant, so it wasn't any email issue. I've had somebody else, but that's going to be a different podcast for a different day. I've had somebody else who's threatened to say, if you don't pick my calls, I'm a very big reviewer on TripAdvisor and I'll be leaving a bad review about your business. But that was even somebody that I've not even sold anything to. She's not tasted the food, but she didn't like the fact that we told her we're closed for delivery, and she totally lost the plot and said, what do you mean you're closed for delivery? Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be leaving a review about your business. And I'm like, what? You're leaving a review for something you've not eaten? You've leaving a review about service? You've leaving a review? We have rules in the business. You just don't call McDonald's to say, I'm calling at this time and I need a delivery, and you have to follow my rules. McDonald's has their rules as to when they deliver and when they don't deliver. So this is definitely a rant. This podcast is called Rants and Bants of the Restaurant Business, and this is definitely a rant. I've just found that most white people are more eager to, you know what, it's a small business, let her off, or it's a small business, I'm never ordering again, it's a small business, I'll just leave a review online and keep it going. But the ones I've had another, but when you now compare that in terms of they want to make sure they bring down your business to the black reviews I've had from black people, it's just sad. It's just sad because, like I said, in a whole week, if we have 500 orders, all the black people that order and never like your food, out of 500 orders, only 5 will leave you a review to say it's good. The remaining 495 would know your food is good. They would order, and the reason why I know that they know the food is good is because they keep ordering again. If you obviously don't like the food, they're not going to come back as a repeat customer. And we actually do measure our metrics in Yes's Kitchen, where we know the percentage of return customers, the percentage of new customers. So, like I said, I'm not talking off the top of my head. I look at the stats on a weekly basis of Yes's Kitchen, and I can see the returning customers. I can see those who are new customers, and the returning customers, yes, 50% are black, 50% are white. So I've been able to measure and say, okay, black people are liking this, or maybe they don't like this. Maybe we need to change. So for example, we used to sell burgers in Yeti's Kitchen, and we had to take it off the menu because we're not getting a lot of orders. We're getting orders for more stuff about rice, more rice dishes and stuff. So we got to understand the market that maybe people just don't want burgers from us. They want burgers from the popular brands like McDonald's and KFC and stuff. They don't want to buy a burger again from an African restaurant. So we got to understand the metrics. So what I'm saying to you is not because I just woke up one day and I just felt like bashing the black race or praising the white race. This is something I've been monitoring for a long time. And I'm just saying this, that we need to be introspective. You need to introspect. Why do we as black people bring down other black people? And this is probably a good time in the quarantine period or the self-isolation period to ask yourself the question, why am I so eager to talk about a bad experience when it comes to a black business? Why am I so eager to do that? But when it's a white business that I've had a bad experience with, I just leave it. So for example, I know there are times that I've had a McDonald's burger that did not meet my standards. Believe me, for the life of me, I could not be bothered to go on the McDonald's website or wherever on what's it called, on Trustpilot. I could not be bothered for the life of me on Trustpilot to go leave a review for them. Or KFC, I ate the burger. I don't even like KFC fries. That's how bad it is, you know. But the thing is, when I go and I normally order a Big Daddy meal, right? I eat the burger, but the fries, I sometimes just leave it because the fries are so bad, I just want the burger. But I want to order it as a meal. I want to have the drink. I want to have the burger. I want to have the side of beans. When I go to McDonald's, my favorite burger is a Big Tasty. I love the fries at McDonald's. But what I'm trying to say to you is, there's times that I've gone there and a Big Tasty is nothing to write home about, or whatever burgers that they have, or whatever food that I ordered is nothing to write home. Like the other day, I think I had, did they say the spicy nuggets? Yeah, oh my Lord, I had the spicy nuggets and there was nothing to write home about. Did I really go on the website to say I want to leave it on Google to review McDonald's to say the spicy nuggets are crap? No, I could not be bothered, you know? And that's not just because I'm nice, it's just keep it moving. You only spent 7 quid. I didn't, you know, it's not like I bought a flight ticket for 500 quid and then the flight attendant was horrible to me. Then of course I'm going to leave it because it's quite a lot of money invested in my flight ticket. But you're spending 15 quid in a black business and you're bringing them down so massively, do you know how many people are going to see that review of yours and are not going to patronize them because of your own opinion, right? Recently, I had a review from a lady who is not necessarily Nigerian, you know, and the best you could come up with is, oh, your jollof rice is not, doesn't taste like jollof rice at all. I'm sorry. You're not Nigerian, one. You probably taste a jollof rice, but a makeshift one, two. In all my years of doing Yeti's Kitchen, other things that I make as a chef has received bad reviews, fine. And then I move and adapt the menu or adapt the recipe to suit along with the reviews. Good. But in all my years, nobody has ever criticized the jollof rice that I make. I'm sorry to say, I put my heart and soul into that jollof rice that I know that it's good. I'm not saying it's the greatest. At the end of the day, they're better cooks than I am. So it's not even a competition. But I know in my heart and heart that jollof rice you had is the best you find from Yeti's Kitchen. I don't know, maybe out there. I don't compare myself with anybody else. So she comes up with, oh, it doesn't taste anything like jollof rice. Sorry. How what do you mean it doesn't taste anything like jollof rice? The other day, I had another review from somebody who was reviewing Ayamashe, right? I had somebody reviewing Ayamashe, and I was thinking to myself, she wrote a review saying, oh, the Ayamashe is so greasy. That tells you the kind of people I'm dealing with here, right? That tells you the kind of people I'm dealing with here, because what do you mean Ayamashe is greasy? It is literally the greasiest item on the menu, and you gave a bad review to say the food that they serve at Yeti's Kitchen is so greasy. I ordered Ayamashe and it was just so greasy. Yes, Ayamashe is packed full of palm oil. It's deep fried and then doubly deep fried and then triply deep fried. So you're not leaving a review to say Ayamashe is greasy. But somebody who doesn't have a clue what Ayamashe is going to say, oh, I don't want to order from that people, from that business, because they said something online about the food's always greasy. But obviously, if a Nigerian reads that, I'm hoping they will think to themselves, of course Ayamashe is greasy. But my point is, somebody who has no clue what Ayamashe is, right, will just see that and say, oh, I'm not ordering from them. It looks like they don't take care of the food properly. So this is what I mean by, it's okay to have an opinion about a business. For me, the spicy nuggets at McDonald's were not my thing. Believe me, there will be somebody else who tastes that and will think it's the world, right? And that is my point exactly, which is, if your opinion about what you've had as an experience with a restaurant or as a business, if your opinion is that it's not great, how about you give them the benefit of the doubt that perhaps the chef was not feeling up to it today? I understand people spend money. Don't get me wrong. People spend money so they get personal and, oh, I've spent money. I spent 15 quid. I spent 30 quid and the food tastes tasteless. I'm never going to start naming restaurants. I know some Nigerian restaurants in London that I've been to and everybody was hyping it. I'm going to give you a hint. Everyone's hyping their fish online. Oh, this fish is the best in London. There's one restaurant that everyone's always hyping their fish. It's a really big fish, right? Bruh, the other day I went there, tasted it. It just tasted like salt and fish, fam. Salt and fish, nothing else. It was really big. I think maybe it's the size that's fooling people. But that's my opinion. And for the life of me, I didn't go online to say, I don't know what people are talking about. People are hyping this thing online that the fish is great. So I don't know. Me, I tasted it though. I didn't like it. The business is horrible. The fish is horrible. I would never come back. Nah, fam. I didn't like it. Other people like it. Literally, I've seen superstars, Nigerian celebrities in Nollywood, blah, blah, blah. They actually go there because they actually want to eat this fish that everyone's on about. And they actually do repeat business because I see them going back over and over again. So that must be the only option they have, or they just like the ambience in the restaurant. But what I'm trying to say is 50% of the bad reviews, I'm not 50%, 80% of the bad reviews I've had have been from black people. The other 20% are white people. And my question is, that reveals to me that when a black person doesn't like something about a fellow black business, they're quick to write a review about it. When a black person likes something about a fellow black business, they have nothing to say. They don't leave a review. They don't big it up. They don't say nothing. Right? And I'm not saying, I know everyone's going to deny, like, oh, that's not true. I get it. When you want, you as a black person, when you want to leave a review, you're not exactly looking for, oh, is this a black business? Oh, is this a white business? Let me leave a review. I know you're not doing that. But I'm just asking, there seems to be a trend that most black businesses receive bad reviews from black people. And you as a person, leaving a bad review for a fellow black business, you're contributing to that, right? And of course, do not support badness, if that's a word. Do not support stuff that don't make sense. If the food's bad, by all means, leave a review and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying, be your brother's keeper. If something is not nice, call the person, tell the person. Or even if you know they're going to give you attitude on the phone, text them. And if you can't text them, leave a note. Leave a note, you know? I'm sure you can call them back and just leave a review to say, you know, I'm not going to leave a review online with you guys. And don't buy from them anymore. Just keep it going. But there's so much hate in the black community that I'm sorry that the stats reveal that there's a problem. But if I spoke to people one-on-one to say most black people leave reviews for black businesses, everyone's going to deny and say, oh, well, I don't do that. When I just leave a review, I just leave a review. I'm not actively vindictive in terms of I'm looking for a black business to leave a bad review about. I totally get that. But you're adding to the stats. That's my point in this podcast. You're adding to the stats. And I could give you so many examples. So many examples. And yeah, the lady that threatened that she's a big reviewer on TripAdvisor, she didn't leave a review in the end. I'm grateful she didn't. But the thing is, if she did, people would have believed her over the fact that perhaps it's a good restaurant. Perhaps the food is good. No one's going to ask the question that, actually, ma'am, you didn't even eat from this restaurant. Why are you leaving them a bad review? No one's going to ask that question. It's all about the stars. Two out of five stars. 2/6 stars. Everyone's so bothered about, oh, it's got so many bad reviews. But there's so many great businesses that are literally drowning on the bad reviews. There's so many great businesses that are a reflection of their bad reviews. And there's so many businesses that are doing something about their bad reviews. And that's where Yeti's Kitchen falls in, because we're doing something about our bad reviews, which is if you genuinely give a review that makes sense, which is, oh, I don't know, the food's too spicy, then that makes sense. Maybe we might just meet in the middle and just put less spice. And then what we'd like, for example, our curry goat, we obviously batch cook because we know we're going to sell out before the end of the day. So what we do is at the end of the day, instead of making the batch cooking of curry goat, we now make individual orders. So when the customer calls and say, oh, I want it spicy, we then put some extra spice for them. If the customer calls and say, I want it mild, we don't put any spice. And that's what we've done as per reviews, rather than just make a whole bunch of curry goat and just put so much spice and nobody can eat it, only half of the population. So we are a business that's reflective of we are a business that's adapting to the reviews of the customers. But they're just some things that you just see, and it's just sad because you see a fellow black person coming to deliver. You see a fellow black business trying to make it in life. And your first experience with them, the first thing you can do is write a review and bring them down. You didn't give them another chance. Do you know how many times I've gone to McDonald's, I didn't like one burger, but I still go back and try a different burger? So I'm just asking, and I'm sure that there's so many people that do that. You go to KFC, you order the, I don't know, you order the wings, but then the wings were not so nice. Does that mean you never go back to KFC? Of course you go back, but because now they've got a new burger. You go try something else and try something new. But my thing is, why? And first time, so I'll tell you, there's an example of this lady. She said, oh, the atrocious business. That's what she said, atrocious business. First time you've ever eaten our food, and the first thing you can say is atrocious business, atrocious food. And then she wrote that on Just Eat, yeah? But guess what? I saw it and I just left it, because at the end of the day, what I'm going to say is not going to be nice. And like they say, if you ain't got something nice to say, you keep your mouth shut. That's how I was brought up. But obviously, this generation is brought up different. So I kept my mouth quiet. I moved on. You wouldn't believe it. The next day, she went over to TripAdvisor. Oh, I left a review on Just Eat and there was no response to my review. So here goes. She now wrote a longer version of the bad review. Tell me that is not the level of wickedness that we see with black people. I don't get it. You've left me a bad review on Just Eat, which would affect my business, but then you go to a different website the next day to complain that I didn't respond to your previous review, and now you're going to write a longer one. How much did you spend, sister? How much did you spend that you want to bring down the whole world? 15 quid. She spent 15 quid, but she wants to make sure that nobody else will order from this business. I'm so angry with them. Wow. Really, why so wicked? Because like I said, I guess in that moment and point in time, in the heat of the moment, everyone's thinking of themselves, which is, oh, I'm so angry, I spent money on the food and blah blah, but you don't see the ricochet effect. You put that bad review, that's like 10 more people or 20 or even 50 people will see that review and never order from that restaurant, all thanks to you. And funny enough, they might have a change of chef. Maybe I stop working in Yeti's kitchen, maybe I employ a better chef that knows how to cook better than myself. Do you know that nobody would give the new chef a chance because you've given that bad review? Meaning that business never stands a chance if it only relied on your reviews. Or meaning that that business never stands a chance if other people actually read that review. There's some people that will read bad reviews and actually, whatever, they still order. And there's some people that read the bad reviews and not believe it. And there's some people that will stay away from your business and even promote that bad review. They will share, oh, let me look for the share button to share this bad review about this business. So that if a friend calls and say, oh, I was even thinking of ordering some food from Yeti's Kitchen. Oh, I read a bad review about them. Oh, let me go find a screenshot to send it to you. Definitely don't order for them. Oh, have you ever eaten from there? No, I haven't eaten from there, but I saw a bad review. And you keep spreading the bad news. Guess what? It all started with some vindictive human being who thought they should leave a bad review on Just Eat. But because we did not respond as a business, because at the end of the day, what you said was very, very bad, you now went on to the next website to say they did not respond. Bruh, are you Trump? Are you Boris Johnson? Why do we have to respond to you within 24 hours? Like, there's no cutoff time. There's no service level agreement that says we must respond to reviews within 24 hours. And even if we responded, so what? Like, you've said what you wanted to say. You've made a bad impression of the business. There's no urgency to respond to you, because even the fact that we respond, some people will not even believe our response. Some customers will not believe the response and still believe your bad review. So why? What's the urgency we're responding to you? You said what you want to say, keep it moving. But no, you wanted us to stand still as a business and attend to your cry that you think this business is an atrocious business. So that's my rant for today. And I don't know, that's one person. And then another person walked in. There was a time we were on Groupon. That's a different podcast for a different day, and why we would never go back on Groupon. But one thing we learned from Groupon as a business is don't give your products out too cheap, or else you would get cheapskates, and cheapskates lead to bad reviews. Because cheapskates are the ones that want an arm and a leg, and they want your blood for very little. But what they don't understand is you're actually doing the cheapskate stuff so you can get more customers in, but they don't see the fact that you want more customers. They just see the fact that, yeah, I could bring this business down, even though they got something almost free. Have you had those people that leave a bad review for free food? Have you seen? Because that, for me, is the level of weakness. Somebody gives you something for free. If you don't like it, keep it moving. At least they gave you something. You didn't spend your money. But no, you're giving something for free. They look for your business and threaten to bring your business down. Oh, I will leave you a bad review. And I've got a lot of friends. I have a huge network. And I'll make sure I tell them about your business. Wow, thank you. Like, seriously, like, guys, like, seriously, Wes, why? Be your brother's keeper. And if you can't be your brother's keeper because the business is so bad, trust that karma will deal with that business. Trust it, like. People cannot be eating bad food from a business and you still expect them to be in business a few years later. The business will run down. Simple, plain fact of life. You know, even businesses that have good reviews end up in the ditch. How much more a business that treats its bad customers badly? They still end up in the ditch. So why do you think you should quickly go leave a review and bring down a business? So, yeah, this lady, during the time we were on Groupon, 50% off. So, for example, jollof rice that should be £7, she gets it for £3. She should be grateful, right? That she's getting it for £3, because we want it to be in a place where more people get to taste our food, and hopefully when they like it, they come back. Believe me, out of 100% of the customers that came through Groupon, I'd probably say only one was retained. One of them was retained as a customer after the Groupon time that we were on Groupon for, because all they wanted was a... And then half of them had the guts to come in, and when they come in, the best thing they'll say is, oh, when next are you guys on Groupon? Because now I've used this voucher. Can you text me when next you're on Groupon? I'm like, are you serious, fam? We're losing money because we're trying to get more customers in. It's a marketing scheme. It's a marketing strategy. And now you're in. And the next thing you can tell me is, I should let you know when next I have an offer. So if there's never an offer, you're never going to come in. Is that what you're trying to say? But that's a different conversation for a different day, because that's just customer psychology. And you as a business have to deal with that. But we got to understand that at the end of the day, the fact that you're giving something 50% off doesn't mean you're going to have repeat business. If a customer wants your food and they like it, they can eat it and they can come back because they want to, not because you're giving them 50% off. And that doesn't mean that they'll keep coming back. But yeah, this lady comes in, shows us the voucher, and we're like, oh, you're not meant to come in. To redeem the voucher, you have to call in advance to let us know that you wanted to redeem the voucher, and then we'll give you a time to come in, because we're pretty busy in the restaurant serving customers that are eating in. We'll give you a time to eat, to come pick up your order. And this lady was like, no, I want to redeem my order now. I'm like, no, you have to call in advance. It's not something you can redeem now, because as you can imagine, customers that are eating in are first priority first versus phone orders. That's just how it works. Even in McDonald's, Nando's, that's how it works. Customers in the restaurant, their food gets done. And I know this because I used to work in Nando's. So it's not like, I'm not talking out of my ass. Customers in the restaurant, the food is cooked for them first versus customers who are on phone orders and you're coming to pick up later. Totally different ways in which we approach that business. But anyways, and then she goes, no. Where did they write that? We showed her on the website that it says call to place your order. It doesn't say walk in to redeem your voucher. And she goes, okay then, I'll call now. She picks up her phone trying to dial the restaurant while she was in the restaurant. And we're looking at her like, bruh, are you serious? Are you actually being real? You can't be in the restaurant calling the restaurant to tell the order, to tell the restaurant that you want the order now. She now said, why not? I thought you said you should call. Now I'm calling you. I said, you're in the restaurant. You won't believe it. This lady stepped out of the restaurant and stood in front of the restaurant to call the restaurant. She said, well, I'm outside the restaurant now. You see, so I think some people actually have mental issues. So when you see people leaving bad reviews about the restaurant, bro, I think there should be a mental test before you can click submit on every review. There should be a mental test to test your mental capacity to leave a review about a business before you can actually submit. If you don't pass that mental test, they should not be able to click on submit, because people are not mentally okay. They're not mentally okay. They don't leave reviews on bad. Some people even leave reviews on businesses that are not even true, which is, you know what? They were planning to leave a review about Yeti's Kitchen, but they now got the spelling right. My restaurant is spelled Y-E-T-T-I-S. They go and find Yeti's of Y-E-T-T-Y-S. And unfortunately, maybe that one is in London. They will now leave a review for that one instead of my business. And they'll now, poor person will now be thinking, when did I serve you? So some people, mental test. We need a mental test before people can leave reviews. Anyway, back to this lady. She steps out of the restaurant and she's trying to call. I'm like, you're still standing outside the restaurant. You're meant to call in advance. In advance means before time, not you standing in front of the restaurant, you standing in the restaurant, stop being difficult and blah, blah, blah. She proper had a fit. Oh, I will never buy anything from your business. I will make sure I tell my friends about your business. I will do this. I will do that. Just because she wants 50% off for the food, though. Jesus Christ. Is the food that important? But then you can see that some people don't actually have means. They don't have food, fam. And for me personally, it points to a deeper problem. It's not about the business. It's no longer about reviews. It actually points to that you're not a happy person deep down within yourself. For you to be ranting and raving at a restaurant that you want to fulfill a voucher, you want to utilize a voucher, it shows that you have a deep problem. Is it that you don't have money to buy food and that voucher meant the world to you for you to feed and feed your children? That's what you need to tell the restaurant. You know, I haven't got money to feed my children. Please fulfill this voucher so that I can give something to my kids to eat. Straight up say it. Don't start coming here proving rights on top of something that doesn't actually have a right. It was written on the website, on Groupon website, that you need to call in advance. Woman was raving and ranting off. Next thing, she goes on Google. I'm sure you can see the review on there. If you want to, go ahead and search it. Goes ahead, leaves a review on there. Leaves a very bad review saying, I came into the restaurant. The staff were so rude. This was so rude. That was so rude. I'm never coming back again. But what she forgot to mention is the fact that she didn't read the instructions on Groupon. She didn't mention that part. But as I said, somebody will see that now, will see that bad review and say, oh, I'm not buying from that restaurant. There was a bad review. And then they'll go on and tell their friend that, oh, have you seen that review about that restaurant? I'm never going there. You don't know what you're talking about. You're making decisions, unfortunately, about a good business based on somebody who doesn't have the mental capacity to leave a review. You're unfortunately going to lose lots of business because of somebody who didn't have the mental capacity. So, of course, she left a review, but do we start begging everybody that threatens us that they're going to leave us a bad review? Do we start begging them? You know, so think twice before you leave a review, guys. in this period of self-isolation, just think about the things you've done. It's not just about climate change and recycling your stuff and making sure you're nice, you only go vegan, taking care of the plants, taking care of the planet. Part of taking care of the planet and taking care of the environment around you is being nice. It doesn't cost you anything to be nice. And if somebody has treated you badly, you don't have to retaliate with badness. Yes, that word, I think I have to make that a word. You don't have to retaliate with being bad. You know, you've got a bad experience with a brand. Keep it moving. You know, keep it moving. Just trust that karma would handle that person, because you can't keep putting negativity. Because, okay, yeah, the restaurant, the brand has done something bad, but you also done something bad. Well, I guess people can justify that they've not done anything bad. The restaurant gave them a bad experience. They've left a bad review. So tough. The restaurant got what they want. But why don't you just throw some positivity in the air? And if you had a bad experience with a restaurant or a brand, just hope and just leave it. And of course, if anybody asks you the question, which is, oh, well, I'm about to go here, by all means, tell them. But telling them over the phone or telling them in person is totally different than you leaving a mark in eternity about a brand and forever scarring that brand and they can't do anything about the review you've left. Be nice, guys. And that's my 2 cents for today. I feel lighter. Thank you. Thank you for listening to my rant today. My heart feels better. And yeah, like I said, I think I've just gotten to a point in the business where I just don't respond to reviews, good ones or bad ones. So yes, according to marketing books and blah, 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 they tell you, oh, if you have a good review, you should always respond to it because the customer feels appreciated. If you have a bad review, still respond to it anyways. I used to do that in the beginning of the business, but I just got to a point where, you know what, you just get overwhelmed. You get overwhelmed. And unfortunately, the way the human mind works is when you have a bad review, it ruins your week as a business owner. It ruins your week because you're constantly pondering over what they said. Versus if you have 99 good reviews and you only have one bad review, your mind will keep enlarging that bad review. And all the 99 good reviews, you actually don't remember them. That's just the human mind. But I'm just appreciative of the good people who've supported our business, good people who've left reviews. Shout out to the white community for supporting our business. Shout out to the black community for supporting our business. And like I said, dear black community, if you do like this business, if you do like what we do, please leave us a review. And if you don't like what we do, please tell us. You don't need to tell everyone. Just tell us. And if you want to tell everyone, tell somebody over the phone, tell whatever. But don't promote what we've done badly online and spoil business for us. Just be kind. That's what I'm saying. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Have you as a business owner dealt with this? How did you deal with it? Did you do better than I did? Did you respond? How do you deal with it? And you as a black person, how many businesses have you left a bad review for? Are you remorseful over it? Or after this podcast and my rant, you're still going to go ahead and leave a bad review, regardless of a black business or a white business, and why? Let me know. I'm your chef, Yeti. At Yeti's Kitchen, you know where to find us. Yetiskitchen.com, which is Y-E-T-T-I-S, kitchen.com. And that's the same for all our social media handles, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Find us everywhere. And until the next time, stay safe, stay clean, wash your hands, stay quarantined, still stay in self-isolation. And we're still open for business, offering food deliveries, tasty food deliveries. And we'd love to hear from you. Take care. Bye.